Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
County Sheriff is the only locally elected law enforcement and is the chief law enforcement officer in a county. In fact, the Office of the Sheriff has existed for over 1,000 years and is the oldest law enforcement position in the U.S. The word sheriff is derived from the Shire Reef, that term Shire Reef, who was the most powerful English law authority figure, even before 1000 A.D., The Shire Reef was responsible for both the order of the land within his shire and the call of the Ewen cry, which made every citizen within earshot of the sheriff's call lawfully obligated to join a posse. A couple interesting tidbits here about what historians have said. Historian W. Morris wrote in his book about sheriffs that, quote, "The office of the sheriff is one of the most familiar and most useful to be found in the history of English institutions, with the single exception of kingship. No secular dignity now known to English-speaking people is older," unquote. Then another historian, Walter Anderson, said that, quote, "The office of the sheriff is one of antiquity and is the oldest law enforcement office known within the common law system, and it has always been accorded great dignity and high trust," unquote. Thomas Jefferson came through the defense of sheriffs when he wrote his article in the value of constitutions, and he said, quote, "There's no honorable law enforcement authority in Anglo-American law so ancient as that of the county sheriff, whose role as a peace officer goes back at least to the time of Alfred the Great," unquote. So accorded great dignity and high trust. Is that still true today? My guest today is Sussex County, Delaware Sheriff Jeff Christopher. Thanks, Sheriff, for being with us today.
Thank you. It's my honor.
So I'll just throw it out there. Does great dignity and high trust, is that true when talking about sheriff today?
Well, you mentioned earlier that the sheriff was the most useful term that people could relate to.
Right.
And, of course, when you said that, I thought about the tools of what we use today, such as a hammer or a screwdriver. The only way that those tools can be appreciated is that the people are the most familiar with its function, and you can apply that function to make it worth the use of it and very valuable and accomplishment. People look at something as far as usefulness and they decide one of two things. They abandon it or they continue the use of it and try to improve it so that it fits the needs of the day.
Right.
And what you're seeing with the sheriff's office is there's a political need to get rid of the sheriff's office and move it out of the way of an exacting tyranny of certain portions of the government. The reason that is because the sheriff is the closest to the people. Why is that? He's elected by them. So when you look at a person who's actually chosen for his or her ability to bring such protection and peace in the community, in this case the county, which, like you said, used to be known as the Shire in Old England, and then, of course, the word reef was the protector, or the protector of the Shire, or today it's protector of the county.
And
the sheriff comes.
Go ahead.
No, the sheriff comes to mind.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, many people forget that the sheriff is the only elected law enforcement official, period.
You've got to ask yourself, why is that? And, you know, most people say, well, you know, well, why do you think, and they address their statement to me, and they say, why do you think that there's balance of powers at county level of today's modern government? And the more progressive thinkers, lawyers and such, politicians, if you will, they say things like, well, I don't trust anybody who is a law enforcement officer who's elected. That coming from senators right here in Delaware.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, my response is, well, how am I to trust you because you're the one making the laws that I'm supposed to enforce?
And they're also elected.
Yeah.
So what's
so
the...
They shoot themselves right in the foot.
Absolutely.
When they say it. They simply just don't think deep enough to actually catch it at the time.
Yeah.
The one thing about a sheriff is that the sheriff, being the elected, first and foremost trusted other people to exact these kinds of protections over them. When you have such concerns today as property rights, eminent domain, Second Amendment challenges coming from Washington, D.C., and then following that course, you see sheriffs rising up all over America, making the front page of the news saying that I will not enforce it. In fact, in Colorado most recently, Colorado sheriffs were threatened by the legislatures to cut their pay or stop their pay altogether if they didn't line up with the mandates of these particular laws. Now, to me, if you look at that, that's nothing but the same kind of tyranny that a gang would put upon a receding town that wants nothing but peace, but yet are afraid of the tools that this gang is going to use, such as guns and knives and clubs and everything else, the forceful way, if you will, a threat of violence.
Right.
Which we've come to know now, this particular administration in Washington, D.C., and following states, pursuing states, and even pursuing counties, in my case, have fell in line with the deeds of this individual in Washington, D.C., and his administration in this country that's trying to usurp the constitutional value, not given by the Constitution,
absolutely,
mind you,
yeah,
but granted by God himself, natural law, and underscored, detailed, and enumerated in the Constitution as a guideline for us to follow.
Yeah, I believe all the sheriffs in Utah have pledged not to enforce any law originating out of D.C. and probably also Salt Lake City that would infringe upon the Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. And
I think all but one there.
Oh, okay, one. Okay. And I know that here in Pennsylvania, I just interviewed a borough chief of police who, at his urging, their borough council passed a resolution that basically told the folks in Washington that if you pass any kind of law that would infringe upon the right to bear arms, we will not enforce that law. So that was, you know, the little things like that are encouraging, but still, the Goliath is after the sheriffs. And I know...
Well, let me say this. I have to applaud that chief of police, because chiefs of police are not elected. They're appointed.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I know.
And they're at risk of losing their job if they stand up and go against the county commission, the town commission, or what have you, that basically signs their paycheck. A sheriff is not that way, and simply put, is because he's entrusted by the numerous people that elected him and trusted him. Not one person, not just a small group or embodiment of bureaucrats, but the people themselves and the numbers that he was voted in, such as, in my case, I believe it was 50,000 or 40,000 plus that voted me in. So when you look at 40,000 bosses...
that you have to answer to.
That's exactly right. You have a broad spectrum responsibility to the many people to make sure that you're doing the right thing to protect their rights and their liberties, whereas the chief of police can narrow it down to one person, maybe two, three at the most, and he stands a great chance of being fired.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was able to convince, you know, with everything that's going on, especially since the Sandy Hook shooting there in Connecticut, he was able to convince the borough council and the mayor that they needed to do this because of everything that was happening. So looking at your situation there in Delaware, I mean, the Delaware Constitution defines sheriff as conservators of the peace, but... of course, Delaware has three counties. It's Newcastle up in the north where Wilmington and all that is, and Dover, Kent County where Dover, the capital, is in the middle, and then Sussex County, which is really the most conservative of the three counties in my view.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. You're exactly right.
Exactly right. We got friends who live down in Laurel and Seaford and all that. But anyway, the I'm assuming it's the legislative body has restricted, in recent years, restricted the duties of the three county sheriffs there in Delaware to primarily serving court papers and running sheriff sales, foreclosure sales.
Yes.
Now, when did your job description change?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening is there's a little bit of a fiat takeover of the office of sheriff, even though he's elected, like we've expanded on, and what they've looked at. The county council is where this all started, and what they want is the county council wants to control that office, and they want to call it a department of the county.
Okay.
Now, let me say this emphatically. There is no sheriff's office that is elected that is a office of the county. I'm sorry, that is a department of the county.
Right.
They do not have the control over an elected office as a sheriff. It is...
Because the sheriff's office should be independent. Should not be under the county council.
Influenced by the commissioners, what have you. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what they've done is sheriffs of the past have relinquished this control by no law, simply by practice, simply by tradition that has come by tradition. And when you ask people, they say, well, that's how we do it here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my response is, well, what about the law?
Yeah.
Are you going to negate the law and ignore the law as to what it says? And then, of course, those who would be my detractors say that this is not the role of the sheriff. I say, well, wait a second. Aren't you subject to tyranny yourself, even though you're a liberal?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they think they're not, because they think they're not going to go down with the ship should tyranny oppress people. Because what it's about is government against people.
Exactly.
And eventually, even those who would support this role of a progressive government will also go down when the toilet lever gets flushed.
Yeah.
So I tell them, well, here's the role. And again, let me go back to that one statement I said. Why did the founding fathers of every county have it installed a constitutionally empowered and enumerated official at the county level in the executive department, which means the enforcing or executing department, just like the president of the United States is at the federal level and the governor is at the state level, the sheriff is the same at the county level. Many people don't know that the sheriff is a state officer sworn by a state judge or a state entity empowered by the state constitution and therefore brings the balance of power that we're so used to looking at in the federal level and the state level down to the county level. Mm-hmm. So it is his job to enforce laws to keep not only the people protected and safe from criminal activity, but also the domestic crime, which we call tyranny, from those governments and government officials who would see your rights diminished.
Wow. So they want to completely take away all your authority, and they want to have a say over what your department does.
Well, you know, if you and I were standing there looking at each other, and we were the only two in the entire area, and you wanted to get past me, basically to, say, occupy a warmer space if we were standing out in the cold, and you had a knife in your hand, well, the first thing that I'd want to do is to disarm you with from that knife so that you could not accomplish getting into the warmer space where I'd like to be myself.
Right.
So I being the people, you being the government, you come down with the tools of threat. The sheriff is the one who says, well, look, you know, you're not going to come in there as an interposer. He stands before the people protecting them from this movement of the government. Well, if the sheriff is disarmed, if you take the protection, just like the Second Amendment threat that everybody understands right now that's going
on. It's so clear.
You take away that protection, then there's nothing, and I repeat, nothing to stop the infringement of more rights upon the established system of what we understand and acknowledge and have adopted as our freedoms and liberties. That's so spelled out in the Constitution. They're going to continue to come. They're going to continue to come for more and more and more. It's not going to be just guns, because once you take the guns away, then everything else is going to flow right out, just like a river.
And you said that, you know, people are saying, well, we've always done it that their comeback is, well, we've always done it this way, as far as the sheriff has no arrest power, just basically serves papers and holds sheriff sales. But yet, as you're saying, that's not what the law says. But as people have just accepted the change, not realizing or not taking time to really think it through, that the law has not changed. It's just the interpretation of the law has changed.
Correct. And then, of course, the practice or execution aspect of it when it comes to the sheriff. Now, a lot of that was probably basically guided by the fact that the counties did not have the budget to support such a full-functioning sheriff's office.
The money, So they got the money from the state.
Very small state. So what did they do? They adopted state measures and state ideas to have the state police come in as a county police. Now, stop and think about that, folks. How dangerous, if you understand the principles of liberty, and, of course, you understand terms such as police state, how dangerous would it be for the sovereignty of the county that's designed to protect the government, also there is also responsible for protecting the citizens and their constitutional values and rights. How dangerous would it be to contract the state to do the policing when, in fact, if there is tyranny, it's going to be executed through that very same state system.
Entity,
with no protection whatsoever.
So the sheriff is the person standing between the people and tyranny. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. But, yeah, because it's the state police, they're paid by the state, as you're saying. They're paid by the state. They get the paycheck from the state, and they will have to uphold whatever or have to do whatever they're told to do by the state. Wow. So the counties there in Delaware, they have not had the money. They've had budgetary constraints, which I think every county in the entire United States has some type of budgetary constraint. But because they have accepted state money to help fund their sheriff's department, they've had to accept the strings attached to that money. Like we see coming, you know, things coming out of Washington and other state capitals, there's always strings attached to that money.
Yes, it started in the Clinton administration more than any other time frame by way of what they call cops more and cops fast.
Okay. Yeah, that was when he was going to put 100,000 new cops on the street. I think that's what it was.
And then the second realm of that was even more, in fact. Now, I was a chief of police then in Maryland. When that all came down the pike, I bought right into those things, and I basically didn't question the idealism of it because I thought, well, it's going to be good for the people.
Right.
It's going to apply money where it needs to be applied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But after I thought about it, and I started to look at how we as people usually, especially the government, attaches some sort of an obligation to anything that they give you, then it became so clear to me as to what they were doing, how they were executing this, and how it was coming down. And then, of course, my pursuit for those kinds of things at that point ceased because I knew exactly what they were expecting me to do.
You saw where the road led. Now, there, with your specific situation, I know that the vice president's son is the attorney general there.
Correct.
And he has issued a statement, I'll put it a statement, where he's saying that there in the Constitution where it says the sheriff is a conservator of the peace, he's saying that that does not carry much weight. And he's actually issued an opinion, well, actually this one is an opinion from the state solicitor, Lawrence Lewis, who was in Biden's office. He noted that also coroners and others have the same designation. But what the AG there,
Beau Biden.
The vice president's son, has told the counties that the sheriff specifically will not or do not have arrest power, period. So you've got that situation. You've got the fact that the legislative body, I think back in June, the legislative body passed and Governor Markle signed into law legislation that further, quote unquote, further defined the sheriff, his role
under
of the sheriff.
Under state law, correct. It does not affect the common law issuance, what the sheriff's role is, nor does it change the Constitution. Now, let me add something there. That's probably what you just said. It's probably the most ironic thing, because my detractors in this case, I sued them. I sued Beau Biden, and I sued the county council from which this whole thing originated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all a power grab for the office of sheriff.
So the whole mess originated from the Sussex County Council. That's where the whole situation...
Yes.
Okay. Are they a bunch of Democrats?
Well, there's only one Democrat, and the rest of them are Republicans.
Oh.
In my opinion, they're Republican in name.
Are they from Rehoboth Beach?
One individual from Rehoboth Beach.
Okay.
He is a state representative by the name of Pete Schwarzkopf, and
he was
the one who took the ball on this thing, and he rolled it right through the legislatures, fast-tracked it, and got it to be adopted and signed by the governor last year. Now, let me expand on what I'm speaking of. My detractors say that the sheriff's office has been here in Sussex County for 300-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
They were established in 1669.
Wow.
Before Delaware was a state. Before the county council was ever thought
it
of.
It even existed, yeah.
Exactly. Before Sussex County actually existed in name, it was only a geographical spot. In fact, a lot of it was Maryland still back then. And then going further, before the state police were ever thought of.
Right.
Now, of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know who was the law enforcement at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sheriff.
Absolutely.
For that amount of years. And then in 1935, well, let me expand back to the time of the founding of the country. They went ahead and they established the sheriff as he was in practice as the chief law enforcement officer, because there was no other law enforcement officers at that time other than some appointed constables. And then you had the establishment of the Constitution. There were three in Delaware. The final one said that the sheriff is the conservator of the peace and describes him under Article 15 of that same Constitution that stands today. Now, they used the term conservator of the peace then, and of course everyone standing around knew exactly what you were talking about when you said conservator of the peace, because it simply became known as today as the COP. Conservator of peace is cop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They know exactly what it was. You didn't have to say, well, look at that conservator of the peace over there. I think they'd call him a sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
They knew exactly what you were talking about, and that's why they expanded on that particular title.
Yeah.
Also, in today's modern society, they call them peace officers because they are conservators of the peace. Now, it's already been defined in Delaware that peace officers do have powers of arrest, and they are, for the most part, a police officer.
And that's still in the Constitution. I mean, no matter what Markle signed there in Dover, it's still, the Constitution still defines the sheriff.
Correct. But the funny part about that is, in 1935, they described the state police. When they put the state police together, they said this. It was in the title, Title 11, Section 8300. It said, up until 2006, when Mr. Schwarzkopf got a hold of it, it said that state police shall be the conservators of the peace throughout the state, and they shall have police powers like the sheriff, constables, and other police officers.
And then it goes
on to describe what a conservator of the peace does. He protects life and property from such crimes as rape, robbery, murder, arson, larceny, and so on and so forth under common law.
Wow.
Then Today, my detractors say that the term conservator of the peace has never been defined in Delaware, mm-hmm. even though it's defined as the Delaware State Police and described as to what the titles and the jobs are of a conservator of the peace. I guess it must have changed in definition from the time it was written in the Constitution until 1935. But in 2006, and here's the ironic part, 2006, Pete Schwarzkopf, the then representative under the direction of Ruth Ann Minner, mm-hmm. governor there, right, the Democrat
time.
Governor,
yeah.
he proposed a bill, House Bill 154, I think it was, to take the word sheriff out of the definition of the state police, which was their historical hook, the power that they were given, derived from the office of sheriff, an ancient old 1,000-year-old office, of course,
mm-hmm.
there in Delaware, 300 years of it.
Right.
And they said that the word sheriff was antiquated, outdated, no longer useful, and they don't want to relate the proud history of the Delaware State Police to the office of sheriff any longer. And therefore, their thinking was that it diminished or took away or somehow removed the power of the sheriff simply because they removed it from the definition of the state police, given the state police the preeminence of the power itself, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, he has been after the sheriffs for at least 6 years.
Or longer.
He
had a couple of sheriffs that come in and tried to show and what the office of sheriff was historically based on. It simply didn't work.
Yeah, he's part of a power grab or the instigator of the power grab for quite a while. And that's, so we have this law that's been signed by Governor Markle back in June. And what has happened since that law was signed?
Well, I filed a lawsuit against him, the county council, to
mm-hmm.
determine whether they had the power to actually remove constitutional rights from people just at a whim or
right.
at a will. Now, we went to Superior Court. We filed in Superior Court. We asked the judge to review this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the response of the judge in the first hearing was, you would have me believe that the state police are subservient to the sheriff as a chief conservator of the peace, which let me know that he missed the entire point.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking at the historical aspect of it at all. He was trying to look at it as a power play and who's bigger in the sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you lend yourself to that kind of power grab, you're moving closer and closer and closer to the police state.
Yeah. Oh,
and
true, because, again,
also,
yeah. Go ahead.
He said also 50 states... The 50 states are 50 separate nations. We live in a nation of 50 separate nations. He is not going to regard any common law or any case law throughout the United States as to its establishment of the power of the office of sheriff that the rest of the United States deems fit and suitable and prudent. He is going to base it on Delaware law only. Now, Delaware is only 3 counties, as you know.
Right.
And there's not been too many cases that expand upon the office of sheriff that resulted in things like the 12-inch volume of papers written by mandamus experts called Anderson on Sheriffs and Coroners, the hundreds of treaties that have been written on the office of sheriff, and the power that the office of sheriff has in direct representation of the people and the will of the people in those counties. And, of course, if you look at Delaware, they're not interested in the will of the people.
Yeah, I've been following stuff going on in Delaware for quite a while. Oh, wow. So you were in the Superior Court there in Georgetown, and the judge basically says that, well, you're kind of reading and writing on the law as you're listening to him there during your day in court. It doesn't, just the fact he's saying that the country's made of 50 nations, and I think he also said that our Constitution is a living document. That's,
he did.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well.
Well, let me tell you what that inference is. The inference that he had that it's a living document, in fact, I've heard that said by the chief of police of the town that this occurred in Georgetown, that it's a fluid document.
Fluid,
now, that is to express that the Constitution is what we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. At any given
time. It is not. It's kind of like the Bible.
Yeah.
You don't take the Bible and twist God's word around to suit yourself. You are supposed to be measured to it
mm-hmm.
as to what is considered sin. In fact, it says there is no transgression except for the law.
Yep.
And, of course, if you look at the Constitution, we can make state laws all day long. One attorney that I have hired said he can declare you Mickey Mouse tomorrow in the state legislature if they want to, speaking of Pete Schwarzkopf.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem with it is, does he have the power to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no. not with regard to changing the Constitution in its original power, but he can say that Jeff Christopher is a sheriff in Sussex County, and he is now Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing is he doesn't have the power, but is anyone going to step in? I know you're stepping in, but apparently there's no one in Dover in the State House who's willing to step in or to challenge the constitutionality of that, of what Schwarzkopf's trying to do.
Doesn't surprise me at all. We have a whole giant building 10 times bigger in Washington, D.C., who's not willing to step in.
That's true, too. Wow. Now, is this assault on the office of sheriff limited to Delaware, the first state, by
the
way? No. Okay.
It certainly is not. In fact, it affects the state that you're sitting in right now. You have state Supreme Court justices up there who just said that, in my opinion, what they said was a deputy sheriff or sheriff cannot do investigations, at least out of plain view of a criminal act happening in front of their face, that they can't go back and do investigations. But every day they stop cars and write tickets, so if they look at a tag, to run the tag, to determine whether that particular person driving that car has something to hide because they're driving, you know, 20 miles an hour over the speed limit or trying to elude the police or the sheriff or what have you, that looking constitutes an investigation. So how can they say that they can do these things at the lower end, but they can't do it at the higher level? Now, that's suspicious to me because what that's painting a picture to me in my experience as a 30-year law enforcement officer is this. There are people at the higher level who do not want the sheriffs doing work at the higher level because things might be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Things might be overturned and looked at.
Yeah,
and there might be an interpositionary sheriff in Pennsylvania that might say, hey, look at this. There's some improprieties going on at the State House in Pennsylvania.
Oh, surely not. I'm shocked that you would think such a thing. Yeah.
This is what we're up against today, and it's real.
It is
100%, and it's in a living color.
Now, what can an ordinary citizen do to address this very real and present danger of our protector, the sheriff, being defanged, basically?
Well, I always started out by saying this. If you're not living in a county in the United States, you don't have to be concerned.
Well,
number one.
Okay. That means everybody needs to.
And if you are living in a county, you better get with it, folks, and start supporting your sheriff. And if he's not one or she is not one, to protect your constitutional values, your liberties, and everything that you've enjoyed and that you want your children and grandchildren to enjoy, you better start talking to that individual. If they don't want to listen, and there are some in this United States today that don't want to listen,
Right. Then
you need to start procedures to replace them. Now, in the interim, what you need to look at is, if this is a spear thrown at the sheriff's offices across this country, and it's thrown from the federal government, the several states' governments who do not support and back their sheriffs, the tip of this spear is in the heart of Delaware, because nowhere ever in the history of the United States has any legislative body ever declared or sat in the arrogant position that they have in Delaware and said that the sheriff has no arrest authority and no ability to act to protect the people for their constitutional values and rights against the tyrannical government. So in essence, if they behead the sheriff here, then it's going to happen in Pennsylvania as it already is.
It
already happened in Connecticut 12 years ago. That state has no sheriffs whatsoever, so it's an impending police state. And then the several states in the Northeast that are under the same exact attack. Now it's moving to Arizona. You can ask my friend Joe Arpaio. Mm-hmm. He will tell you.
Yeah, they don't like
my friend John Lopey in Siskiyou, California, the southern portions of Oregon, the states of Utah, Colorado. Right now the Colorado sheriffs are under attack that they're going to cut their salaries in half if they don't go along to get along with this gun mandate.
This new gun law,
Which has nothing to do, folks, with Connecticut. There was no assault rifle used in Connecticut.
Exactly. It's still in the trunk of the car.
It's just a matter of whether you'll believe it or not.
Yeah.
And with all the rhetoric and the things that are being thrown out there in the regular media, dig a little deeper, folks, because the truth lies under a scaly skin.
Absolutely. So folks need to talk to their local county sheriff to see what his or her position is on the issue of the constitutionality of the office and the issue of efforts to remove the authority of the sheriff. Is there any way
Let me say this, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't buy into a sheriff nodding his head and saying, well, I intend to protect your constitutional rights as well. Make sure he knows what you want him to know, and you are persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt that, listen, just look at it as though you would be trying to do something to save your own children from disaster. If they say, hey, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, I haven't been drinking, mm-hmm. and I haven't been speeding in the car, I guarantee you it deserves further investigation
right.
to go out and look at the tires to see if they're missing any treads.
Yeah.
You have to go at the sheriff and test the sheriff. Don't let him just nod his head at you, because anybody can do that to get you out of their office.
Right.
They
absolutely.
Owe you.
Mm-hmm.
They work for you.
They absolutely
and
do.
That's the whole value, and that's what the whole office of sheriff is all about in a way. And there's some sheriffs who absolutely refuse to go along with this and understand what this is. This is nothing more than a tyrannical move by the government to take mm-hmm. away more and more rights of the people to make us closer and closer and closer to slaves.
Absolutely. So can folks contact you? Is there any way that they can contact you, Facebook
yes.
or? Okay.
I'm asking people, those who are of the mind to get involved, I'm going to be very blunt. We need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Dig into your purses if you can. Send us $10, $20, $30. If those can afford $50 and $100, send us what you can.
That's for your
it
legal
is about,
fund. Mm-hmm.
It's a legal fund.
Yeah.
You can go to CSPOA.org, and that stands for Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. It's an organization founded by Sheriff Mack, former sheriff, retired sheriff from Grand County, Arizona. He was a two-term sheriff there, right next to Joe Arpaio.
Okay.
And he fought and won against the Clinton administration on the Second Amendment attack called the Brady Bill.
Okay, and that's CSPOA.org.
Yes, CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, .org, and look for the SOS. It's the Delaware Sheriffs, and please donate there if you can do it. All of the proceeds go straight to the attorneys. They do not come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever checks are handed to me personally, I send them straight to them. We had to go out of the state of Delaware to hire these attorneys because no one wanted to go up against Mr. Biden.
Hmm.
We're a very small state,
deep
and
pocket,
everybody
yeah.
knows everybody, so we had to do this in a way that kept it clean and precise and prudent, and that's exactly the way I intend to keep
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to understand that this is a people, this is the people's country, not the government's
absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. And I commend you for the stand that you're taking under... I don't want to say insurmountable odds, but you know the odds are not in your favor. But yet we know God can work through that. I commend you for that and for taking a stand to reclaim the office of sheriff and the rightful duties and authorities that should be associated with that office. So I encourage folks to go to cspoa.org and check out that website and check out the SOS. For Sheriff Christopher there on that website, too, if you can possibly help him kick in $5 or $10 or something to help in his legal fund, because I'm sure they're not doing this for free. So, in fact, I know they're not doing it for free. So, again, thank you very much for your efforts, and keep up the good work and try to get Delaware back on track.
Thank you. As long as God allows me to stand here and do this, I'll certainly understand why he has me here. And I will, if I die tomorrow, I'll certainly be fighting today for sure.
Okay. Hey, take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you.
Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.